Hello, everybody, and welcome to Free to Woog at Home, the internet's best and funniest podcast.
God, I hate that intro. I hate it so much.
The best and funniest podcast. Oh, well, here's the thing. I received a message recently from someone who said that I sounded like I didn't want to do the podcast anymore. And they said it was a shame because they really liked the podcast.
Was that person me?
No, it was a fan. It was a genuine fan of the podcast.
So not me.
And they were like, I'm glad you're still doing the podcast, even though every week it sounds like you really don't want to. And I want everyone to know, I do enjoy doing this podcast. Mm-hmm. I really do, Ben. I do.
We've got to come up with a better, because if I was listening to, if I was like, oh, a friend of mine told me to listen to this podcast, I'll pop it on. And then the first words out of the podcast are the internet's best and funniest podcast. I am throwing my phone in a canal. And do you know what?
We don't want those listeners. We want people who understand the ironic backstory to that innately.
When hearing that. Because, like, you know what? Let's bring in our guest and I'll tell you why I'm concerned about this.
Sure. You would know her as a comedian, an award-winning comedian.
Mm-hmm.
You would know her as a Queenslander, most importantly.
Mm-hmm.
And a person from the country. She loves to talk about that. It's dangerous animals enthusiast, Danielle Walker. Hello, Danielle.
Hello, happy to be here. I do want a trophy now that says Queenslander on it. do you know when I, when I won the Best Newcomer Award at the Comedy Festival, thank you so much, a lot of the other awards got trophies, and I didn't get a trophy.
Why not?
What?
Does Best Newcomer not get a trophy?
I don't know. I just didn't get a trophy. But then because everybody else had a trophy and, like, the photos they did after, they didn't know what to do with me because I was just, like, holding an envelope. And then they said, like, they just grabbed Frank Woodley and were like, here, pose with Frank Woodley.
Human trophy, Frank Woodley.
Yeah, technically, Frank Woodley's is your trophy.
Oh, and that's why I can see him standing on your bookcase.
Yeah, he's right there.
I thought he was doing some of his classic physical comedy, but no, he's your trophy.
I also have another question. Sorry to get off topic. I just came in my head before, but
Excuse me?
I was gonna let that go. I was going to let that whoosh past.
What did you say, Danielle?
What did I say?
You just said you came in your head.
Oh, like a thought. Yes, ha, 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 ha. You're all dirty boys here. No, I can't speak properly. And I think it's a disability. I think I've genuinely got something, but I do have a question, which is, did you used to do a podcast with Jack Drews?
Yes.
Was it this podcast?
No. Although Jack has been on this podcast.
Okay, you used to do a podcast with Jack Drews.
And then the wonderful, wonderful comedian Jack Drews moved to Melbourne and abandoned me, so I had to set up shop with Ben.
Yep.
Disgustingly.
Okay. Yep, and that was before Zoom. If we'd had the technology, I would have been out of the curb. But as it stood back then, you could only do podcasts in the same room as somebody and then an audio engineer who was etching it onto a wax cylinder.
Why do you ask, Danielle?
Because before I did comedy, I used to listen to that podcast.
Oh, my goodness. Would you have found it?
I don't even know. I also used to think that everybody who had a podcast was a celebrity.
Well, that's broadly true. So
when I moved to Melbourne, I met somebody who'd been a one-off guest on a podcast and said, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm meeting you at the first gig I ever went to.
Now, in fairness, that was Barack Obama coming off the back of his Marc Maron stint, so I can understand why you were impressed.
No, that was literally that podcast, I think it was called the Drews and Hing or the Hing and Drews podcast. That podcast came about because the university I was working at the time, I was working at the student union, they wanted to set up a podcasting program. And they said to me, Michael Hing, will you go out to a microphone shop or whatever and buy a bunch of podcasting equipment because we want to start a podcast for the students to do? And I said, sure thing, boss. And I went out there. And in the time it took for me to go to the shop and purchase all the microphones and then go back to the university, the program was cancelled. And so they had all this equipment, which I just took and then started the podcast with my friend Jack. and our one fan was Danielle. I was wondering who our one listener was.
Yeah, that was her. That was her.
Well, I think I came in quite late because there was a period in time where for months, every afternoon when I'd walk my dog, that's what I would listen to. And then obviously I ran out of episodes. I don't listen, like I don't have like podcasts that come in weekly and I'm like, can't wait for an episode of that. I listen to like 40 episodes in a row and then I move on to the next.
Until you're just sick of everyone involved and then, yeah. It is funny, like... Yeah, hang on. I want to talk about why I hate your intro, Hing. I was getting a coffee last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. Time has just ceased to have any meaning. And the barista with whom I am friendly at the local cafe said to me, what are you up to today? And I said, oh, I've got to go record a podcast with a dear, dear friend of mine who never has podcasted with anybody else in his life. And I was his first choice.
Sure.
And she said, she's quite young. She's a Zoomer, Michael. She said, oh, what's the podcast called? And I said, oh, no. because it sounded like I was angling for her to listen.
Get another listener.
And we don't need, Michael, we have dozens of listeners across the globe. but she had her phone out already, Danielle. She had her phone out and her podcast catcher open. And I told her the name of the podcast.
Did you explain to this person that the podcast is mostly filthy and probably not suitable for anyone to listen to?
Well, she's not like 12. She's
no,
like,
I know, but anyone, like if you're listening to this right now, you should feel bad for listening to this.
No, I was so bowled over by like the awkward situation I found myself in that I just was like, it's pretty good home. And she was like, oh, is that like Hobber and Hing? And I was like, well, no, because... Hobber, I mean, Hobber is but that is Michael Hing, yeah. And she was like, oh, okay, well, I'll listen to it. I was like, you really don't need to. Thanks very much. And I like almost left without taking my coffee. But see, then when I was walking,
and I guess this is
Michael, listen to me. Then when I was walking home, I was like, oh, it's fine. It's like, it's a fine podcast. People like the podcast. And then I thought that fucking introduction, she's just going to hear, hello and welcome to the only funny podcast on the internet. And then it's going to be done. And then the next time I see her, it's going to be awkward. And guess what, Michael?
What?
When I saw her the next time, she told me two things.
Mm-hmm.
She said, oh, by the way, I listened to your podcast. And I said, so three things. That's one thing that she told me. And then she said, you laugh like Elijah Wood. And I said, okay, I don't.
She didn't mention the intro.
Well, no. And then I said, oh, okay.
That's interesting.
And I said
that was the thing you were worried about, Ben. But actually, maybe the thing you should be concerned about is your Woodian laugh.
And then she said, yeah, listen to it. Like, repeated it. And I was like, oh, who is the guest? And she said, oh, I didn't get that far. Now, Michael and Danielle, as you will know, we introduce our guests very quickly because me and Michael don't like to be in the same room as each other alone for very long. So she listened to, like, 2 minutes of that absolute max. And I feel like it's probably the intro.
I mean, also, why didn't she just lie? I feel like she could have just said any name and you wouldn't have called her out on it.
Because she could have said Barack Obama. We'd have been like, sure.
Because she's a Zoomer. She's brutal, man.
No.
She's got that brutal TikTok energy.
Ben, first of all, look, as an experienced broadcaster myself, can I allay your fears, right? You can't be doing, well, this is a broadcast medium, Ben.
Yeah.
It's a podcast. Uh-huh. We can't be just doing podcasts for single people. You know, we make decisions not based on one person, what they might like or dislike.
Yeah.
We have to make decisions based on what we find funny.
That's true.
Otherwise, we're going to end up like Logan Paul. What's going to happen.
Well, Michael,
do you want to be Logan Paul?
I
then?
Don't know.
Do you want to be a multi-millionaire, Ben?
Yeah. Do you want to be rich and famous and beloved? Do you want your brother to go to the suicide forest and make fun of some corpses you see hanging on a tree?
Yes, of course. I want all of those things, Michael.
Do you want to fight? I don't know, Mike Tyson or whatever. Do you want to fight Mike Tyson, Ben?
But Michael, that's what I'm doing. I'm forgetting the barista. I don't like it.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome to the world's most dog shit podcast for dumb cunts.
See?
Real good, huh?
Now, that's not bad. I'm putting a little edit marker in. That's where we're starting.
How's your week been, Ben?
It's been okay. You know, I don't know about you guys. Danielle, you are a Queenslander, but you are in Sydney presently, are you not?
Yes.
So you've been kind of going through the lockdown stuff.
Oh, yeah,
a bit of that.
Yeah, big time.
I've found this week to be a little bit easier than the others, possibly because I'm taking 3 weeks from work from what I think is technically called by HR cuckoo bananas leave.
Taking some cuckoo bananas leave. Do you have plans? Or is this going to be a genuine holiday, Ben, where you, or not a genuine holiday, it's a genuine rest where you do nothing and sort of let your brain recover? Or have you found a little project, like one of your little projects, like recoloring old photos or learning to pick locks? These are two things he's learnt to do as an adult, Danielle.
Okay.
I can do
can
both.
Can I send some photos for you to recall?
Danielle, I would love to do that.
Great.
I haven't fired up the old fucking color curves panel on Photoshop in a very long time, and I would love to do that for you. No, Michael, I think I'm going to watch a lot of movies, and I do have a fun little side project that I am working on that that I think will be a nice little fun distraction.
Okay. Why are you putting together a gun while you say that? Are you going to assassinate the Queen?
Well, David Harmon has a 3D printer, and I think it's going to come out on my newsletter. I'm working on a serialized crime fiction story that's going to
about a man who kills the queen.
About a man with a dream to kill Queen Elizabeth II. And I think it's going to start coming out in a month.
Okay, that's interesting. Great. That's exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And as I get more confident about it, I will start talking about it more here to tease.
Okay.
And is it based in reality? Do you want to kill the queen?
It's Danielle, it's not about killing the queen.
Okay, sorry. It's just it seemed like it was about killing the queen.
Okay, yeah. Now that we've talked about it, though, I think I might do some tinkering to make it about killing the queen.
Danielle, since last year on the show, obviously, you know, like Ben said, you've been through a couple more weeks of lockdown. Mm-hmm. How are you coping with it all?
Well, I have really taken up I've bought a jigsaw cutter. I've bought multiple different types of sanders. I own a drill. I have a lot of equipment
what
now.
What are you building? Are you building something? Is it a trebuchet with which to fire the queen into the shark?
I'm not going to admit that on air, Hing. I'm currently building three different tables, and now I've reached a point where I have to stop building tables because I need to do some work and
do you need
stop
three
it.
Tables, or are these for gifts for other people?
Yeah, they're different tables that I need, that I want.
For what?
I need a coffee table because sometimes I want to do things, but I want to be in front of the TV, you know? Uh-huh. You want to do a puzzle, but you want to sit on the floor in front of the TV and do the puzzle or something. Uh-huh. Or you want to put down a cup and I don't have a coffee table.
These are classic uses for a table that you've listed here, Danielle.
See, there's two different things there. Then what I also want is, you've seen them, you probably haven't seen them. I'm not on TikTok, but they're most famous for being on TikTok. They're like icon. Cobbenhoven is the name of the designer who made these like tile tables. Anyway, I have been tiling a table that I made out of a bookshelf that I cut up and repurposed the bookshelf to make into a tile table. That currently is nearly done. I'm going to grout that today. And then the last thing is I'm sanding back an old side table and painting it and redoing it up because I don't like it. And every time I walk into the room, I stare at it and go, I fucking hate that side table.
Now, Danielle,
I can't live with myself.
When you said that you're making too many tables, I'm gonna come clean here. I was skeptical. I was thinking to myself, how many tables could this lady be making? Honestly, too many tables. Danielle Walker, that is too many tables. This is our new segment. Too many tables. And
how many tables are you making right now, Ben?
I'm making zero tables.
I'm also making zero tables. That means our, I guess, loser tonight on who is making too many tables, it's Danielle Walker.
Congratulations. Ow. You get a statue of Frank Woodley.
Yep. And also this table. this is a podcast where we go through the week's classifieds and find the best and worst things to talk about. And Ben, you're going to kick us off today.
Yeah, I am. This was sent in by Power Coward Geraldine. Thank you, Geraldine.
Thank you, Geraldine.
It's taken from somewhere that I don't think we visit very often on the internet. But we should, you know, it's our neglected relative in a nursing home. We just don't get there enough. But this is taken from Airtasker, which is a
A wonderful place.
Yeah, where you put up a task. You say, hey, I've got heaps of tables in my house. I can't move for all the tables. It's like Spiffington Mance up in here. And I, fuck, that's a deep cut. That is one-time sketch on like season two of the McAuliffe program where the entire joke is that there's too much furniture.
I have too much furniture, so I get that joke.
Excellent.
Real good.
But you might say, get these tables out of here. I'll give you, and you put a quote up. You say,
"Oh, you're explaining Airtasker." Sorry,
I'll give you $100 if you have a truck and a couple of strong people. You come and take these tables away. I'll give you $100, and then someone says, "I'll do it for $200," and you go, "All right." So that's what Airtasker is. But the thing about Airtasker, Danielle Walker, is you can put anything up there. You know what I mean? Like I've used it for copy editing in the past because I'm very bad at spotting typos and things that I write. So I put it up on Airtasker and I say, can someone proof this for me?
You just give that to a random?
Well, I don't do that anymore. I have a friend who does it for me now who I pay, who isn't a random on the internet. But prior to that friend, I definitely just said, hey, proof this. And they would proof.
Okay. Because, when I use Airtasker, I don't use it for like a professional thing that I would be worried about it being bad.
But Danielle, this is why Danielle, you're an award-winning comedian.
That's true.
Because you haven't outsourced your passion and your job to a random on the internet.
Yeah, the last 4 months of the feed have just been some guy in the Philippines.
The wonderful sketch about the treats, that was all a man of the Philippines.
Yep. So sorry, Danielle, I didn't realize that you had used Airtasker. What sort of stuff do you use Airtasker for?
Once I used it for getting rid of rubbish because we needed to move house really quickly from Melbourne to Sydney. Mm-hmm. And turns out going to the dump is really hard.
What do you mean?
Well, you've got to put it in the car, then you've got to take it, then they weigh the car. And I would have had to do, two loads because we're moving interstate and needed to get rid of some stuff. And because it was in COVID, there was, a lot of, stuff that was still, shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So we couldn't take it to, Salvo's and stuff, and we knew that there was a dump with a dump shop we could take stuff to, so it'll be sold there. But then you can't just go to the dump without paying a fortune. So I called up a guy on Airtasker and he was like, yeah, I can do it for $20. Well, I didn't call him up, I put the ad out. He quoted me $20. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was really good.
Danielle, can I just say
you picked up your stuff and then dumped it by the side of the road, right?
Listen, I was in a rush and it's not my problem once it's not in my house anymore.
And that's the
law. That's the law.
Yeah.
I give a man a body, it's not my body anymore. It's his body, he deals with it.
Give a man a body and he'll dump it in the tip. Teach a man to murder. So, Daniel, can I just say, as far as I'm aware, you are a childless person and a woman, but can I just say that that rant then had just pure uncut dad energy?
100%.
You've got to take it the tip, which costs a fortune.
These bloody charlatans down the tip, they want to charge me $180 to dump a mattress. And I said, mate, the bush is just behind me. Why don't you I've got land behind me. It's owned by the council and they own the tip, so technically that's a tip as well, mate. Yeah, I'm going to run for council this year. Absolutely going to run for council.
Can I tell you guys a sketch idea that I had that is completely unfeasible to do, not just because I'm on Cuckoo Bananas leave, but also because it would just be far too expensive. But it really tickled me when I thought about it. So it's a Mad Max situation. Everybody's got their really cool cars, those war rigs and whatnot. But then there's a guy with crazy dad energy who's just held on to the family Toyota Camry. imagine that scene where they're all kind of in that convoy and then a Toyota Camry indicates into it. And there are cringing children in the back and the dad's oh, bloody hell, look at that. No reversing camera on that one, I reckon, kids.
We had different dads. My dad was he had a Datsun Ute, and it was only supposed to, you know, when there's like, is there a limit where you're not allowed to have a kid in the front seat because it's illegal?
Yeah, man.
Oh, is it under 10 or something?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like, there definitely is, and it's like quite old.
Because because it was obviously illegal to have a kid in the front seat of the car, and it was a Datsun Ute, so it had two seats. Instead, I would lie down behind the seats, and we'd put pillows on top of me, and the dog would sit in the front seat.
Sorry, were the pillows to conceal you from law enforcement or in the event
Correct.
Of a crash?
Yes, to conceal me from law enforcement.
That's
why was your dad so worried about the cops pulling him over?
Just they pull you over up there all the time. You know,
it's Queensland
they're
cops.
Checking for rust yeah. on the cars. So is this roadworthy? It's got rust. So that's all I remember from my childhood.
So do you feel your dad would have been like kind of like in the Mad Max scenario, like drop of a hat the moment society looks a little bit rickety, he's building like a war rig immediately?
Oh, he's literally, he's ripping the doors off the ute, putting me in the front, cutting out the window from the back. He's so happy. The moment he's like, guess what? We can have a rest now.
Danielle's dad is adding a flamethrower to a guitar as we speak. Well, Ben, what was this thing you found on Airtasker?
Well, I didn't find it. Geraldine, the power cow.
Oh, sorry.
Found
yes,
it.
Yes. Thank you, Geraldine.
I don't know if she's her name looks familiar, so I'm if I am
Hall of Cowards, you're in there.
Yeah, Hall of Cowards, welcome. Find a spot. So this was, I don't know what part of Airtasker this is in, but I know that it hasn't been filled as of when Geraldine posted this. So nobody's put their hand up and said I'll do that, which surprises me because it's the budget for this particular task. It's like hiding a body money. You know what I mean? But it's
really?
Not a hiding a body task.
Oh.
So this is posted by Paul K. It's due on the 30th of September of this year. So that gives you 19 odd days. Mm-hmm. And you can do it from home, which is good. Oh, and I'm fairly sure, in fact, it's a virtual certainty that this is Australian.
Okay.
Write one chapter of a romantic novel. And here are the details. Write one chapter of a novel, and the novel is called Ballarat Love Child.
Beautiful.
Expressing 18-year-old Helen. Now, that's spelt Helen with an E on the end. Helen? All right.
Yeah, Helene, maybe?
Helene?
I don't know.
18-year-old yeah. Helene's viewpoint. The writer.
Okay, can I have a question immediately?
Go.
Mm-hmm. Is there a photo of the person asking for this? Because Helene is not the name of an 18-year-old.
Well, I'm going to pull you up here, Danielle, because I feel you may have jumped the gun because you don't know the period that Ballarat Love Child is set.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
So if you're thinking about doing this, guys, I've got some news. The writer must be a woman. I'm very sorry, Michael, but you're still in the running, Danielle. Who has published a novel. I don't know if you published a novel, but I feel like that's quite an elastic definition and we could probably fudge it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like a podcast is a novel in a way. You know what I mean? It's like a novel for the ears. Oh, that's an audiobook.
Yeah. You can self-publish anything. Like I could take a bunch of... I've written some blog posts. I could just go publish that tomorrow.
There you go.
Self-publish that.
You've written a novel. Start it with Once Upon a Time. That's a novel. The other day I was mucking about with the boy and he does this thing where he likes if I pretend to be asleep and then he goes blah and I pretend to be woken up and frightened. It's classic
wake up dad.
Yeah. But I've been like prolonging it a lot, partly because the actual act of waking up, I really put a lot of effort into it and it's tiring, to like do multiple times. And so I'm trying to like spread out the amount of time it takes me to like get to inverted commas sleep. So I don't have to keep going, which is
You're saying Dr. Footlights doesn't cure you of your tiredness as soon as you go to perform for your son?
After like 45 minutes, no. So like when I say he's like, daddy, go to sleep. And I've been like kind of padding it out, being like, well, you got to tell me a story first. You got to sing me a song. And then like putting it back on him also is like kind of revenge for like, so he can understand how annoying it is to put him to sleep. But the other day I was doing that and I said to him, you got to tell a nursery rhyme to get me to sleep. And he was like really G'd up and wanted to do the kind of scaring dad thing. And so he was really just phoning it in. And when he got to nursery rhyme, I said, buddy, you got to do a nursery rhyme to get daddy to sleep. And he just went, there was an old woman, the end. And I was like, that's pretty good. That has all the basic elements of a nursery rhyme. Anyway, so at the end, so Danielle, this is why I think Helene might be apt. At the end of the 19th century, beautiful and talented Helene Dora, beautiful name, guys. Mm-hmm. Helene Dora, it's like the name of a beautiful flower, was engaged to the eligible John Cracker.
John Cracker was the name?
John Cracker.
Helene Dora.
The only son of the Chief Justice and owner of a gold mine.
What a character. What a character.
So we've got a few characters in play here. Mm-hmm. Helene Dora. Mm-hmm. How did you pronounce it, Danielle?
Yeah.
Helene Dora?
Dora.
Dora?
Dora. Dora, maybe.
Surely Dora is a nicer way to say it.
Yeah, but I'll tell you
Dora is horrible, but Cracker. I'm not expecting the person who came up with Cracker to think Dora.
I also think that you should know that Dora is spelt D-O-R-O-U-G-H.
So it could be Doroth.
Doroth.
Like cough. Yeah.
It could be, yeah. Rhymes with Helene Dora rhymes with cough. Could be a line of dialogue that you can have for free. Was engaged to the eligible John Cracker, the only son of the Chief Justice and owner of a gold mine.
Uh-huh.
Now, end of the 19th century, I think you probably could be the Chief Justice and owner of a gold mine. But nowadays, I feel like that would be a conflict.
Conflict?
Yeah.
So how much is this paying, Ben?
Well, I'm not fucking finished yet.
Oh, sorry.
This is what we call in the writing business, the prestige. this is conflict, right? This is because so far, the life of Helene Dora rhymes with cough actually sounds pretty great. Engaged to eligible John Cracker, the son of Chief Justice and the owner of a gold mine.
Oh my goodness, she's going to inherit that Chief Justice fortune.
And the gold mine fortune, man. Bing, bang,
and
bong.
And the gold mine.
She can buy all the old-timey baubles that she wants with that. life looks pretty good until... And that was my editorializing. Paul K would never be so crass as to say life looks pretty good until. But it's implied in between the full stop and the next sentence. She forfeited everything. For 4 months with Walter Withers.
So hang on. So she was engaged to the gold miner slash son of a chief justice
slash yes.
Yep. And she's given that up to be with someone for 4 months.
Yep.
And all we know about that person is their name is Walter Withers.
Walter Withers. So I've just I'm just jotting down my love triangle here.
Can we see? So you've got to write a chapter of this Ballarat love child.
Yeah, and it doesn't say the first chapter; it says one chapter.
Okay.
I have a question about the 4 months. Are we getting to this? Is it,
no? That's the entirety of the text.
Okay.
And the budget for this, the budget for one chapter, of Ballarat love child, is. In Australian dollars, $3,000.
Oh my God, I'll do this. I will do, I mean, I will go through them. I just don't, I have a few questions about the, like the 4 months. Mm-hmm. Is it, does he die at the end of the 4 months or something? Or like what, or is it just 4 months and then he runs away and
she's
pregnant?
When she goes to hook up with him, he's like, hey, just so you know, I'm not in a place where I want a relationship right now. And she's like, I've given up a gold mine, you piece of shit.
Well, maybe Maybe Withers isn't a surname, but a verb. Maybe
he withers.
Maybe cancer. After 4 months, he kind of just turns into like a tiny little bean.
Maybe he's the 19th century Ballarat version of Benjamin Button.
Which I believe was also said in the 19th century, but not in Ballarat.
So you mean she loved him and then he withers into a child?
Well,
and
I'm
that's
not,
where the love child
Danielle,
comes
I'm
from.
Neither.
So you love him and then he's a child.
Yeah, Ballarat love child.
Okay.
Again,
I see,
that
I see.
Love child is not a, it's not an adjective noun situation there. It's a verb. Love is a verb. Love is a doing word. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah.
Ben.
Sorry, I think I have a brain tumor.
No, you were just quoting Massive Attack.
I was
makes sense.
Quoting Massive Attack.
Can I reveal that I've just done a bit of research?
Oh yeah,
and I've found the man who's written this.
What?
I don't want to. I don't want to say
against everything that
Kelly?
We do here.
They said Paul K.
I don't want to explain how I've done this, but basically I've found the person, and I've got a little bit more detail.
Okay. King, did you just Google it? Is that how you found it? And you don't want us to think that you're just a man who Googles things?
Well, okay, there's two. Okay, I've got two things. All right, I've got an update on the Airtasker ad.
Okay.
And then I've got a bio that I think has been written by this man.
Okay. Giddy up.
So he writes, "The rest of the novel, Ballarat Love Child, has been written in draft form. I've written 44 books, articles and plays that are available in full on the web. I'll pay $3,000 for the chapter and also pay the writer 50% of the book's royalties."
That's good.
And I will acknowledge her. So you're not just a ghostwriter, Danielle. You could be a published author if you get this job.
I'm confused. What chapter is
yeah,
this?
Yeah, guys, I think a horrible...
It's got to be a specific chapter.
Guys, I think a horrible kind of penny is starting to drop for me.
Is it the sex? Is it like
yeah.
a sex chapter?
I imagine it's some sort of...
That's exactly what I think it is.
I think he needs you to write all about female pleasure, Danielle.
Does he think he's like, "I cannot imagine what it feels like to be touched as a woman"?
Or maybe he's like, "I am such a good writer and my imagination's so potent that I don't know if I'll come back from it."
Sure, he'll inhabit a character and then never return.
I like that he thinks he's like, I know women well enough. I know them well enough that I could write a female character, obviously. I can write in the personality of a woman.
But I could not.
I can understand the psyche of a woman, but I cannot understand what it would feel like to potentially kiss a man.
He keeps writing like Helene kissed Walter Withers and oh yuck. he wished Walter Withers was a chick with a big set of cans. No, that's not right.
I want to go through all his 40 published books to find the one chapter that was written by a woman in
every time, yeah.
Every
Michael,
time.
Do you have access to this man's bio?
I have some access to this man's bio, or at least a person an author who shares the name of this man. Now, this person describes himself as a writer, administrator, and polymath.
This sounds like our guy.
They've been a leading actor in Shakespearean and classical tragedies at school and university since the age of 16, studying five European languages at school and five Asian languages at university. So, you know. It covers the whole globe in terms of languages. Doctoral scholarship to Cambridge at the age of 22. Has written 4 non-fiction books, 3 novels, and published some 30 articles, including 7 on psychiatry. So,
guys,
you know.
Should we, the three of us, fucking muscle in on Cam and Alexi's turf?
Yes.
I was
100%. This man is a fraud and he is trying to find women who want to write romantic novels.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, "Look at me. I'm good at all these things. I can speak 5 love languages. I can also speak 5 Asian languages. Yeah. I'm cultured. I've got all these degrees. I've written all these books. And I love hearing about women fucking. So write me some stuff and I'll see if I'm going to..." Yeah, he's going to try and communicate with them.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. The photo on this bio that I'm looking at does look like... Let me send it to you guys. I'll put it in the chat. It looks like archival footage from a documentary about a person who did a murder.
Uh-huh.
Just have
but
a
Danielle,
look at that.
Danielle, if he's a con artist or a fraud, what's his angle here? Like, what's he getting out of it?
He's going to try and $3,000 is the upfront money, and then and then he's going to get that back.
How?
Because he's going to try and meet a woman and, oh, that photo is, yeah, he's a murderer.
So do you think this is a situation where he'll get you to write it and then he'll say something like, oh, Danielle, the publishers, they need a bit of upfront money from us to get our book. So he's giving you $3,000, but we need $10,000 to get the book published. Can you chip in for that or something?
And he does this with like 15 to 20 women at a time, all older. He's trying to make you sell yourself. He's like, or, you know, you're writing, you're like, hey, I'm not a published author, but I can write. I promise I can write. And like, I also know what it's like to be penetrated, so I can write those scenes well. I promise I'll sell my, I'll be so good at this. Give me a chance. And then he's like, all right, I'll give you a chance. And then he gives you positive feedback. He's like, I've never read anything that good. And I've read a lot of Danielle Steele novels. And then next thing you know, you're writing the chapter, then you're fronting up the money. You don't know. He's got 15 to 20 other women on the boat.
This is, I think we've cracked this one, guys. Mm-hmm. That said, I think you should take him up on this. Or, Michael, has the position been filled?
No, it seems like it's still open. You can make an offer, although there are lots of people who are wanting to take this on. But yeah, I feel like I don't want to give away any more information about this because then we'll just be identifying a man who definitely exists and is a real person.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm keen to do this and investigate myself and right. try and get $3,000.
Okay.
Well, I'll send you a link later, Danielle.
You should say you're like Donna Tartt.
Donna Tartt?
Yeah.
She's an author.
She won the Pulitzer or the Booker or something. She's only written like 3 books. She'd be a huge coup to get for Ballarat Love Child. And you'll notice how I'm pronouncing that because it's Ballarat Love Child because it loves
Not
the child.
Ballarat Love Child.
Yeah, because Walter Withers is withering into a baby.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Danielle, do you have a classified you want to share with us?
Yes. My classified, I'm just finding it, is it's called ISO Farmers Hunters or Freezer Dump Dog Cat.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me?
Do you need any more clarification?
I reckon just give us one more of that, just so we know that every word wasn't a mistake.
ISO Farmers Hunters or Freezer Dump Dog / Cat.
Okay. And that, no and that more is, questions? Is that a Massive Attack lyric as well? Or?
okay, so this one says, I'm looking for raw food sources for me pets. Any butchers or hunters that have parts that they would normally throw out, I would be interested in them. Need to empty your freezer? Have meat to get rid of? Any and all parts of the animal, brain, liver, other secreting organs, eyes, bones, skulls, whatever I can use. Fish and birds as well. Also, whole animals would be appreciated. Do not contact me with unsolicited services or offers.
All right.
So this is taken from a place called Bellingham and was sent in by Michael T. Thank you, Michael. I don't know where Bellingham is.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it could be American, but the me instead of my makes me think it's either English or Australian.
Ooh, yeah, interesting.
Get me, yeah.
I think it's in WA. I think it's in Western Australia, Bellingham.
Okay. Beautiful.
Is my guess.
I believe
is
we...
Is it up north?
Yes, I think it is. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say it seems like somewhere that would be up north.
Oh, no, I'm wrong. No? It's, I'm you so said- wrong. It's actually...
In Tasmania?
I saw WA and thought it was Western Australia. It was actually in Washington State. So it is up north in many ways. In the Northern Hemisphere. So it's kind of a couple of hours north of Seattle. or you know, a fair drive north of Seattle is what it looks like.
Well, maybe there's some weird Washington dialect that does me for my. I don't care to get into it.
It could be an Australian abroad. We have left before.
That's true. No. I have a friend called Jason Wilson who lives in Washington and is Australian. He's a writer for The Guardian, though. I don't think he needs animal parts. But you know what? I'll chat with him later today and find out if this was his.
Now, the thing is, this person just wants free animal parts, right? They're not looking, they don't suggest they're going to pay for them. They just want like stuff you don't need. If you need to empty out your freezer kind of thing, have meat to get rid of, I'll take it. Daniel, I feel like, you've talked on this podcast before about the many pets you've owned.
Yes. Just yesterday I was talking to a friend because she's just gotten a dog and she said, she was supposed to go for a socially distanced walk and she said she didn't want to leave the puppy. I said, oh, yeah, because I once had a duckling that died of loneliness. You can't leave him.
That sounds like a children's story that someone would write and then would be banned from schools for being too sad.
Yeah, it sounds like the sort of book that I just like that would be like from the 40s. That sometimes like I find books in like a street library and I'm like, oh, it's called like The Happiest Fox, and then I'll like be reading it and then halfway through I'll be like, oh, good goodness, I need to like make up the rest of this. I need to get those theater sports gears kicking in because I cannot read The Happiest Fox anymore to my child.
What happened with your duck, Danielle?
Well, a girl at the dog boarding kennel I worked at found just a duckling that was by itself and she didn't know what to do. And so she brought it to work and I was like, oh, I can take it. I've got like all the lights and stuff and whatever and know how to do it. And it would have been fine, okay? I would have been able to look after the duck, but what you do if you've got a duck or something that's by itself because they do get very lonely is you're supposed to put like an egg timer on when they're sleeping at night when you're not around so that they hear the like tick, 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 and it sounds like a heart. Yes. It's like their mum's heart. And so what happened is during the night, the egg timer stopped working. And then I woke up and went to go check on my sweet baby duckling that I'd fallen in love with, and it was hard and cold.
Oh my God.
And then it was so horrible. I cried and I took it out and I buried it in the yard, and then my dog dug it up immediately.
Jesus Christ.
Fuck. Danielle.
Oh, I know.
What the fuck, man?
It's not as bad as one time I found my dogs killed a possum.
Don't tell the saddest story that we have ever had on this podcast and then follow it up with, oh, it's not as bad as when.
So one of our dogs killed a possum and I went down to feed our chickens and the possum was inside the yard where the dogs had killed it. But there's like we had a fence between the front bit of our yard and the back bit of our yard.
Sure.
And a little tiny baby possum, maybe like 5 centimeters long. It was like pink and tiny. Oh. It was on the ground there and it was covered in ants and I was probably like 8 and I picked it up and I picked all the little ants off it and then I carried it up and it was like moving its little tiny baby jelly bean arms and I'd fallen in love with it because I'd just saved its life. And I took it up to Dad and I was like, Dad, we've got to call Jade and Charlie because they were my friends and they were wildlife carers. And then he said, give that to me and go get ready for hockey. And so I was like, okay, Dad, and I gently put the possum in his hands and then I went and put my hockey uniform on. And when I came back out, I saw my dad putting it in a plastic bag and tying it up and putting it in the bin.
Oh, the only thing that would make that story worse is if you walked away and while you're like getting your hockey stick out of its case or whatever, you just hear a single gunshot, you know?
Danielle, did you fucking grow up in a John Steinbeck novel? What the fuck?
I'm sorry. It is. My dad didn't even think it was bad. He was just like, it wasn't going to live because I cried the whole way to hockey and it was like, it was never going to live.
Did you win the game? Like, how'd you go at hockey that day?
Oh, I did not win. I scored. We had a rule in my family. The rule was if you score a goal, Danielle, in hockey, I will buy you a McFlurry. And I never scored a single goal in the 6 years I did hockey. I was too busy talking.
You probably, I mean, to be honest, you're probably talking through many of the animal-related traumas that happened to you as a child.
The other girls arrived. I was like, have you had any pets die of loneliness?
Oh Michael, do you have a really lovely uplifting one to just soar us home with?
Yes, I do. Now, Ben.
Yeah, mate.
You live in a house, don't you?
Mate, yeah.
Uh-huh. And Danielle, you also live in a house. Am I right? Am I right to say that?
I live in an apartment.
An apartment, sure.
Yeah, I'll come clean. Ours is technically a townhouse.
Sure. Ben, you live in a house that you own that is illegally built by a madman.
Well, part of it was illegally built by a madman. Let's.
And Danielle, you're a renter, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, this is probably more in relation to Danielle then, Danielle's mm-hmm. situation, because this is a listing for a rental. If you'd like to live in a house. Now, it's quite long, so I won't read out all of it. I'll just skip over the main. I'll skim it and get, the main bits. But basically, this is $2,500 a month, a two-bedroom, 800-foot, adorable home for rent. It's the entire home in somewhere called Lynn in Boston.
Okay, that's Boston.
The northern part of Boston.
We have listeners in Boston.
Oh, yeah, we have heaps of listeners in Boston, don't we?
Yeah.
An unspeakable amount of listeners in Boston. Mm-hmm.
I'm talking. We have Leo from The Departed in Boston. I'm talking. Yes. We have
Jack Nicholson from The Departed
in Boston. I'm talking. We have Matt Damon from Good Will Hunting listening to the show, but not Matt Damon from The Departed.
No,
we're still trying to get
Murphy's huge fans.
Yeah.
anyway, so this is taken from Boston.
The rat at the end of The Rat at the end of The Departed in the final scene. Big fan.
Wasn't that Matt Damon?
No, the actual rat that scurries across the screen as if to say, okay. Rats.
I see. So this is an adorable two-bedroom house for rent, entire house, right? It's quite long, but I'll please read full description before contacting me or my broker. It's a small two-bedroom home, entire home, for rent in Lynn, Massachusetts. 800 square feet, small but functional and quaint. Disclosure, previous tenant passed away in the master bedroom 2 days ago. Pictures are of the current state. The home will be cleared of all furniture before occupancy. The cleaning is up to you. Bring a bucket, gloves, and a lot of bleach.
Oh, my God.
Mm. You are right. This is uplifting.
Rent is $2,500 a month. If rent is 1 day late, I will immediately begin the eviction process. Rent is payable by check only and to be left in the mailbox the night before the first of the month. I will pick it up. I do not want to talk to you, so just leave it in the mailbox and I'll be on my way.
Is the eviction notice murdering them? Is it murder?
I will evict you from life.
All right, here are the stipulations for rental. First, last, a security deposit and a broker's fee is required to move in. At your expense, I require a background check, a credit score, and a drug test. This person adds all that up, and you end up, to move into this house, just to get in there, you need to pay $10,000. $10,000.
Uh-huh. That's like, well,
and this is to move into a place where 2 days ago someone died.
Yep. That's like four chapters of Ballarat Love Child. And that's actually before we even convert to American dollars.
And do we know if they had, like, COVID or anything like that that could be lingering also in the house?
Well, they did say bring bleach, so.
Here's the thing, though.
Is this a money-making scheme? He knows there's COVID in the room. He doesn't want to see you because he can't go near anybody who's been in the COVID house. He's trying to get your $10,000, send you in, get you to die of some strain he has concocted. Next thing you know, every 2 days he's got a new person in there giving him $10,000.
Yeah, you get in there and there's like four other people, but they're dead and they all have buckets and bleach.
Yeah.
So when you go to inspect the place, you will need to wear a mask and gloves at showings and show proof of vaccination. Wear bags over your shoes to protect my floor from your germs. Oh. Bring your own hand sanitizer and stay 12 feet away from me and my broker. Okay, how's this? I require 10 references from non-family members. 10. I have 10 people who'd vouch for me. Would you?
I wouldn't vouch for you.
Okay, this is where...
Hang on, that's not what I asked. I meant, do you have 10... I wasn't asking you to vouch for me, Ben. I was asking if you had 10 people who would vouch for you.
Oh, I'm just saying I would not vouch for you. And what's more, I have 10 people who would vouch for me that I would not vouch for you.
Would you have 10 references, Danielle?
I'd vouch for you, Danielle.
The thing is, I've never used a reference before, because what I've always done in the past is I've always had like an old phone. You know, you've always got an old phone. And so what I've just always done is bought a SIM card and then just made up the name of somebody and then turn that phone on for a week now, with like a $5 SIM card. And then I go, hello, yeah, she's wonderful.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask because you have quite a distinctive voice and I was going to ask if you masked it in any way. And that beautiful, incredible, beautiful accent, I was transported to foggy London town.
Honestly, I feel like this must be what Lorne Michaels felt when he first saw Will Ferrell audition for Saturday Night Live.
Absolutely.
So complete was the character work of Danielle Walker.
Absolutely. I was immersed.
Well, thank you very much, boys.
Jesus Christ. How's that gone? Okay. Has it ever blown up in your face, Danielle?
Never.
Not once.
I've gotten every single job I've ever used that voice for.
Have you ever... that's wild. Have you ever... Like, what's the craziest... Have you ever had to do a crazy lie about yourself in these interviews?
I've not worked at many big corporate jobs, Michael.
No, I know.
The jobs I've had outside of this have been Viking River cruises. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've worked at a dog boarding kennel. Mm-hmm. I've worked at a publishing company that was sort of basically, I think, some sort of scam.
Oh my God, was it run by the fucking Ballarat love child people?
Maybe. I have no idea who ran it. They never came in. It was just supposed to be giving stock advice to old people, and I don't think it was okay. Anyway, whatever. And another place I worked was, I was a courier, and one of the other people who I trained up, she told me within 5 minutes of knowing her that she had been haunted by her ex-husband's ghost,
uh-huh,
and that she knew he was around because she could smell roast potatoes and gravy.
And was
imagine
he,
if your ghost he, smelled like potatoes and gravy.
Was he a very messy eater? Was that the...
All right, there are some more rules if you want to move into this place, right? Okay? Other rules to consider before contacting me. Only 4 people, no more, ever. No pets, not even a fish. No laundry on site. The hookups have been taken out and disabled. Find a laundromat at your own expense. No backyard access or use of the yard. I've installed security cameras to ensure nobody is using my yard. No parking. No outside water use. Hoses and hose spigots have been removed. Water is at the landlord's expense. Thanks, Massachusetts. I won't pay for reckless use of water by tenants. Do you want to cool off in the summer? Find a beach.
What the?
No access to the basement. I've locked the basement with deadbolts. If you need storage, find a facility at your own expense. No guests or overnight visitors. No loud music. No smoking. No marijuana. Here's interesting. Lawn care and snow removal are the tenant's responsibility. This will be written into your lease at signing. No, I'll not take off any money for the rental price. No, I'll not take off any money off the monthly rental price for this. But the shower's been installed with a 5-minute timer. Sorry.
But how can you take care of the lawn if you don't have a fucking hose?
Exactly. Yeah. I guess maybe in Massachusetts, in rainy Massachusetts and snowy Massachusetts, maybe that's less of an issue than it is here in Australia.
How are you also supposed to take care of the lawn when you're not allowed in the outdoor areas?
You've got to hire a series of drones to do it, Danny.
This man 100% is a murderer. You're not allowed in the basement. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed in the yard.
Someone did die
where
here 2 days ago.
In the basement or the yard.
Please limit your time outside the front of the house. You pay for the inside, not the outside. Be cautious while carrying in bags from shopping trips. The neighbor to your left is my best friend, and he will tell me if you go on extravagant shopping trips, which will result in a rent increase. Be forewarned.
What? So he's keeping an eye on to see if you're spending money, because if you do have money to spend,
you should be spending it on rent, I guess. No refrigerator included by your own. Front and back outside lights have been disabled because of the landlord's responsibility and financial burden to pay for them. Thanks again, Massachusetts. Take care of my home as if it is your own. Well, if it was my own, I'd be able to leave. I'd be able to go outside the yard. Please come prepared with a pen for your rental application, as we do not provide pens.
Oh, that's the last straw. That's the last
they cost
fucking
money.
Straw.
Heat is electric. Blast it all you want. It's not included in the rent. It's your expense. Go for it. Stay toasty. It's located in Lynn, which is close to Boston, and I'm asking for current rental rates. Any email trying to negotiate rents will be deleted and blocked. $2,500 a month for an entire house. Don't like it? Please look into moving to Boston on Newbury Street. Regards, this is Eric. And again, yes, this is in Lynn, Massachusetts.
Well, he sounds great.
I can't deal with this man.
Yeah, he's a fucking nightmare.
I'm too stressed out.
God.
And there's enough, like, there's enough weird little ticks there that make me think that it's not just somebody taking the piss. Like, there's enough little details, and it doesn't, like, go completely bananas that makes me feel like this is a real guy called Eric. Yeah. None of our listeners, please. Guys, I don't know what the rental market is like in Boston, and I don't care to know, but if you're looking somewhere, please stay clear of this place. It does not sound enjoyable.
It sounds
Do we
awful.
Know how many bedrooms is two. In this house?
Two bedrooms.
Okay, so that is still... I mean, I don't know what it's like, but it does seem quite expensive for what you're getting here, which is no outdoor access, no basement access, no water, no laundry system.
Yeah.
You cannot buy furniture because then
and
if you buy
at the
furniture,
house, it looks like fucking shit. And again, there was a dead body in there 2 days ago.
I forgot about that. I was going to say he buried the lead, but he didn't. He led
with
that.
Put it up front and then put so much crazy shit afterwards.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what he's trying to do, because he's got to tell you probably. There's probably some thanks Massachusetts law that you have to say if there's a dead body been in there.
Oh.
And so he's like, yeah, dead body. And then he does all these like cuckoo bananas stuff afterwards. So like people are like fixated on the lawn.
Yeah.
Guys, this particular episode with Danielle Walker has been an absolute delight. I have enjoyed every second of it. Danielle, even the part where you, I think, traumatized our listeners for years to come with not one but two stories. Back to back.
I would say that previously, honestly, so often on this show, the people talk about the famous Ernest Hemingway story, the six words or whatever it is, for sale, baby shoes never worn. I reckon... Duck died of loneliness.
Yeah, duckling.
So duckling dies of loneliness.
Yeah.
That's four words and sadder in many ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Danielle, where can people find more of your harrowing stuff?
I think, well, I don't know my Instagram handle.
Okay.
Right.
I've forgotten it. I think it's either at Danielle Walker Comedy, at Dan Walker Comedy, or at Danielle's Cool Okay.
Or Cool Science Facts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's at Barack Obama. Uh-huh. BarackObama.
And are you on Twitter, or are you a well-adjusted person?
I have Twitter. I do not go on it. And I also have Facebook, but I accidentally deleted my fan page.
Okay.
And I can't get it back, and so now I'm like, nah, so I don't use that at all.
Can I just say, and I mean this sincerely, you are very bad at social media.
I know, and it's so hard because you're supposed to, like, be online to have a career.
You must be on the computer, yeah.
I really don't know what I'm going to do or how I'm going to do it. Maybe I should pay a ghost social media writer or something.
Put it up on Airtasker.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, you and I have another podcast with a bunch of other lovely folks called Dragon Friends.
Fucking nerds.
Okay. Where we I was about to say go through the week's classifieds.
No, it's an ongoing Dungeons & Dragons adventure. Comedians playing Dungeons & Dragons, comedians who've never played Dungeons & Dragons before playing Dungeons & Dragons, and have been doing so now for 7 years.
Yeah, I realized the other day with like a genuine panic that we have been doing that show for longer than I did high school.
But we're not doing it for 6 hours a day or whatever.
That's very true.
5 days a week. Yes, it's called Dragon Friends. Go check that out.
You can hear Michael Hing on Triple J at some point during your day. Monday to
and
Friday.
And occasionally you can hear Danielle Walker, who is a regular guest on our show now. And she's a real delight, I'm going to be honest.
Does she have a segment called Sad Animal Stories where she just bums out the nation?
She comes on and tells the saddest animal story she can find. And then
the
you text in if you're crying or not. Yeah. 0439757555. Let us know how this has affected your mental health. It's Danielle Walker's Sad Animal Stories on Triple J.
And I got a newsletter called The Idiot Report, which you can go to by going to idiotreport.com. Where I do little essays and short fiction.
Mm-hmm. I want to plug one other tiny thing, my TV show that I've been
doing. Oh, shit, yeah. You couldn't talk about this last time.
Yeah, Celebrity Letters and Numbers. It's a new, it's kind of like the Australian version of 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown, but for obvious reasons, it's not the same as that because I'm not Jimmy Carr.
You pay your taxes for one thing.
Yeah, take that. And I don't have hair plugs. No, I'm sure he's nice and lovely. I don't know him very well. I've never met him.
Mm-hmm. So not at all then.
No, I don't know him. Yeah. Never met him. But if you want to watch that, it's from October the 2nd, Saturday Nights on SBS at 8:30. Friends of the show are on that. And also, if you're like, what? I hate puzzles. I could never watch a puzzle show. I hate puzzles. I'm too dumb to understand puzzles, if that's what you're thinking in your brain.
Jesus.
We've been, first of all, hey, you're being too hard on yourself.
Yeah, love yourself,
secondly,
man.
This Wednesday night, which will be the, what date is that? That is the, I think the 15th of September.
People have calendars.
15th of September, we are going to be doing a little Dragon Friends Twitch stream where me and some of the other Dragon Friends will be playing some of the games on Twitch, so you can tune into that around 8 o'clock and learn that on the Dragon Friends Twitch stream. But that's all I've got to plug, Ben.
Yeah. That was such a delight having you, Danielle. Hopefully when I recover from your stories, we can have you back again. Until next time, bye.
Bye.
Bye. If you like pina coladas, getting caught in the rain. If you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain. If you like making love at midnight, in the dunes of the Cape. I'm the love that you've looked for, write to me and escape.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.